It's time to go out and...
From that nightclub at the end of the world, this is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. That is my name. It is Sunday, July the 8th, 2012, and yes, this is going to be a really important show. I'm not taking calls tonight. We're not doing a commercial break, and we're just going to talk about a lot of very important stuff because it's time to talk about it, and I think it's going to be a big watershed moment for a lot of us, including definitely is for me. So anyway, you know, people that have followed me for a long time, back from my confrontation with Don Deutsch, through the early days of From the Wilderness, all the exposés we did, crossing the Rubicon, the Tillman expose, a lot of the economic investigative journalism we did, and of course the documentary Collapse, we'll get the theme that I was the detective. I was making the case, and that was the fundamental part of my life. Now, I want to say something right up front here. I have never believed that the rules of the system were fair, and I have never believed that they allowed for the whole truth to get out. But I was presented with a challenge, which was, I believe, my life's mission, which was to fight the powers that be, or I would call it the state religion, within the confines of their own religion. That was the only way that I was ever able to score the coup, to count the coup that I have counted in my life, whether it's Donald Rumsfeld and everybody that went down with Tillman, all the times, John Deutsch, all of that. I had to do that in their arena. And there were several reasons why it was necessary for me to operate that way. First of all, there was no chance in reaching the consciousness of the mainstream public, which arguably I have. My work has reached probably 5-10 million, tens of millions of people over the course of my life. But to reach them, I had to speak to them within the terms of the official religion, because to step outside the official religion meant everybody could instantly not listen to me. And the way that I got people to listen was by playing by their rules. And that was important on many levels. It was important not only to be able to reach the mainstream public, but it was also important from a spiritual standpoint to stand up to them in their own arena and mirror, if you will, the absolute evil, corruption, stupidity, and destructiveness of a system of infinite growth, which would obviously wind up take us where the planet has come now. But I did that job diligently, and up until late last winter and early this spring, even though I hated having to live in all the details of the collapse and the suffering that's out there, I was willing to do that because that, I felt, was my spiritual role. Now, I spent a few weeks now talking about AA and talking about my own spirituality, which is no secret. And I have disclosed on this show very clearly that it is and has been nothing but my spiritual program that has been behind and motivated everything I have done. Because I committed to the spiritual life in 1983, some folks like Derek Jensen were surprised, but this is time to talk about that. But what happened that was so significant, probably the biggest moment in the history, I think, of planet Earth, was that over the winter and the spring, a number of thresholds were crossed in terms of climate. We've had Guy McPherson on the show. I have an enormous respect for that man, professor emeritus from University of Arizona. We had him on. Climate change is absolutely scientifically to the point where we're looking at human extinction within one generation. Columns of methane. How many times have I said this? Tens of kilometers or kilometers across, tens of columns. We're venting a greenhouse gas 25 times worse than carbon dioxide directly into the atmosphere. The Gulf of Mexico is dead. Fukushima is not controllable. There are no answers within human science or human engineering, or the three-dimensional world, which is the prison that people have been trapped in for a long time. There are no solutions for that. Planet Earth, Mother Earth, was going to be destroyed. And you lay on top of that the economic collapse. You lay on top of the environmental destruction is horrendous. But nuclear issues from Fukushima are just as bad. So, one thing, and I'm going to foreshadow where I'm going here. My shaman travels with Bear. I love him. He's just amazing. I have enormous love for this man, my brother. And has been recently sending me lots of information. But one of the most amazing things that he sent me was, I don't know where he finds this, he's a shaman, what the heck, was DVD interviews with the elders, the eldest ones of all over the world, of who have carried ancient traditions forward. And this is not just what we would think of in terms of Native Americans. This is Kalahari Bushmen. This is Australian Aborigines. This is South America. It's the Anasazi, the Hopi, the Sioux. But all of them going back to the living descendants, the longest living continual descendants of our ancestors on the planet. And every one of them now is, and many of these people are stepping forward, like Don Alejandro, the Mayan people. Many of these people are these indigenous keepers of the truth who have carried this for tens of thousands of years. They're all saying the same thing. Mankind will not be allowed to destroy this planet. It is, our planet Mother Earth is absolutely essential and beloved throughout the universe because she is a very special person with very special characteristics. And what has happened is the tripwire has been crossed, and an intervention is, I would say, underway rather than imminent. Now, we're going to build to that. But what I'm after tonight is coherence. What a beautiful word that is, coherence. We look for a unified theory of science, which explains everything that's in the universe. And it's here. We have it. Particle physics research, quantum physics research, has just absolutely turned science on its head in the last few years. And there is a unifying web of life. A lot of it's based on frequency. This is now science that, according to the rules of the state, religion must be accepted or suppressed, which is what they do. Mainstream, you know, the powers that were have never, ever been able to confront me head on because I beat them at their own game in their own court by their own rules. That's why they couldn't say the name Michael C. Rupert. And with all of that being said, now we're at a place where things are happening extremely quickly. And I have to tell you that a lot of the stuff I'm going to share with you tonight, I was not fully aware of until this tripwire was hit about 8 months ago. And you've heard it on the show. I had Peter Joseph on. Dmitry Orlov wrote about it. It's very, very clear that a lot of us have had this awareness wait a minute. What's the point now in anything that we do in that three-dimensional world if all of this evidence is so clear that the planet's over? And yet, of course, we continue. Well, we need an explanation. We need unification for that. And that's where I'm going tonight because not only what I've known over a lifetime and learned over a lifetime, what's been revealed in the last couple of months is just beautiful. Now, one thing that I did painstakingly on this show was to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous as a demonstration of the fact that living by spiritual principles, in other words, principles that cannot be described, controlled, managed by science, by ones and zeros, by the paradigm that is dying, could solve problems that nothing else could. And there are tens of millions of people around the world, whether in AA or drug addicts, or anybody who has come to the 12 steps. And there is no dispute that living a spiritual life is the only solution. Once you have reached a point where the only options are death or insanity. That sounds like the world we're living in. Now, just recently, I'm going to play a tape for you. Over the last week, I was asked to be a tracker of truth, the heart note speaker, at an amazingly, wow, probably the best social event I've ever been to in my life, an Independence Day. And Evolution Day at the Fry Family Vineyards in Mendocino County in Northern California. What a beautiful place. And I've been hanging with a lot of musicians. But I spoke there as Tracker of Truth. Now, I do not have two faces to show. And I have never shown two faces. So for you out there listening tonight, I want you to see the face that is my face now. This tape is interesting. It starts, I had a 30-minute talk. And it's just going to pick up where it picks up because it didn't start rolling until about 18 minutes in. We're going to use that to talk about what we need to talk about for the rest of the show. But I want you to do something right now. If you've got a writing stick handy, pencil, pen, something, computer, I'm going to read a list of names. And I'm going to read the list of names again or talk about them. You'll hear them in the soundbite. And it's about 12 minutes. Or 18 minutes. And I want you to look them up. I want you to YouTube them. I want you to Google them. Because as Tracker of Truth, as a man who has spent his whole life with an amazing record for bringing you accurate, trustworthy information, this is where we are going to find our answers now. So write these down. Greg Braden, Braden. Little Grandmother. Drunvalo Melchizedek, Drunvalo Melchizedek. Michio Kaku, quantum physicist. Amit Goswami, quantum physicist. David Wilcock, author of a great book called The Source Field Investigations. Dolores Cannon and The Disclosure Project. As Tracker of Truth, as a warrior who holds space, I hold space also for these people. And this is where I am obliged to point you now. But now let's go hear my talk, and then we're going to come back and spend the rest of this hour, and I'm going to try to paint this picture for you because there is really good reason to crack a smile. So anyway, here I am as Tracker of Truth at the Fry Family Vineyards on July 4th.
Relation to spirit, a power greater than myself, that effectively were like taking a plug, walking to a wall socket, and plugging into the power. It was not necessary to understand the power. It was not necessary to do anything except need the power with every fiber of one's being. And those steps open doors. There are steps 4 through 9 in the 12-step program, which are action steps, where you dig inside yourself, because what the spiritual life teaches, whether you approach it as indigenous, whether you approach it as an elder, whether you approach it as a mystic from Tibet, the spiritual path is a journey inside. And it is all about a change of consciousness. I didn't plan that echo. Consciousnesses. I love that. There are many of them. But I can tell you now, as we stand in a world where the laws of physics have been overturned completely, where we know that time and dimensional travel is absolutely possible and demonstrated, we live in a world where we know that there are powers and things outside of ourselves, or as Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet, alas, Horatio, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Well, that philosophy which has contained us for tens of thousands of years is dying.
Yes.
Now, I am here today. And let me tell you how I came by this name, Tracker of Truth. But I wanted to make it clear that in 1983, when I got sober, I had not confronted the CIA director. I had not given the lecture, Truth and Lies of 9/11. I had not started from the wilderness. I had not broken the Pat Tillman scandal and forced the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld. I had not made the documentary Collapse, and I had not written this book, Crossing the Rubicon, which is in the Harvard Business, 1,600 pages, 1,000 footnotes, an act of love trying to communicate, to deliver a message to the powers that have ruled this planet for tens of thousands of years in their own language, that they were evil, that they were destroying this, and there was no other outcome possible for that paradigm but its death. That death is here. Now, I wrote that having to live in the left brain. I had to communicate from the left brain. And that was torture for me because I was living already since 1983 a spiritual life which understood perfectly and fully the difference between believing that happiness can be achieved by arranging things on the outside of us and knowing that we will not manifest heaven on earth until we change what is inside of us first, and the rest will follow. It may be possible, it is possible to travel between galaxies and dimensions. But I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, the longest journey in the world is from here to here. And what is upon us now? What is happening for us now? This is how I came by Tracker of Truth. After the documentary Collapse was released, it was pirated 2 million times. I had no income. I was broke. And I realized I had to get a job. And this is the way spirit has led me my whole life. It leaves no other option in the maze of my plan, of my fate, but to go in one direction, whether I like it or not. And my dear friend Mel Gibson gave me $5,000, and I started CollapseNet, Collapse Network. And I hated that because I had been so begging in my heart to be free of documenting the evil in the world and living in that place. But my message, but my mission was to carry a message directly to the powers that be that we are watching you. I was the mirror held up in their face, and I was willing to die there. I was willing to die at that post. But something happened. Starting at the end of last year and going into this year, a set of conditions appeared on this planet, created by man. And a great many of us who have walked this path of trying to warn and to teach and to confront all realized this at the same time. And here I include people like Dmitry Orlov, I include people like a great Peter Joseph of Zeitgeist, a dear friend. And what had happened between like November of last year was that, first of all, the United States was being abundantly defeated thanks to the work of a great many journalists. We were, the United States and what it represents, the darkness that it represents, was turned back from attacking Iran. And the whole universe was working to prevent that from happening. The United States of America is in full retreat around the world. Something changed. And I was a part of that. But what happened after that was it hit us all at once. Giant plumes of methane, kilometers wide across. Kilometers, tens of kilometers wide across, tens of columns of methane were rising from the Arctic tundra in Siberia. In Fukushima, Japan, the radiation levels at Reactor 2 were so high that not even a machine could get close enough to work on the reactor. The radiation fried the machine, and it was revealed that No machines capable of dealing with those levels of radiation have even been designed yet. Just last week, the radiation at Reactor 1 was so high, it was higher than it had been since the tsunami. But then I look about what I have written about so much, the world economic picture, and if you look at the world outside today, it will drive you mad, because what we see is that there is a place that is ruled by fear, and it is producing the living hell, which is the only thing it is capable of producing. Now, when this set of conditions happen, when I and Dimitri and climatological scientists and economists, we all looked, and you know, Peter Joseph, we looked around and we said, by the rules of the third dimension, by the rules of Descartes, by the rules of ones and zeros that doesn't allow for spirit or soul or anything else that is real, this planet is fucked. Now, I am tracker of truth. It was at that point that I could no longer do that work. I was holding a bridge between the worlds. And I am first wave, and that was my job. But I couldn't hold it anymore, and I was in such pain. And there is a tree not far from where I live that I call the wishing tree. She's about a 100-year-old apple tree. She's been split by lightning. She grew a little cross piece to hold herself together. She's hollow in the trunk, and she's hollow up both branches. She's been beat to shit, and she's bearing the most beautiful apples right now. She's surrounded in a... So that's the wishing tree, and we're going to come back to some music stuff here, because I have to share this also. I don't know how long I've been talking or how long I have to go, but I'm just on the roll, and I think you're rolling with me, so it's okay. Music is the thing in my life that has held me here when nothing else could. I'm going to share a story in a minute about a woman who shames me with her courage. So it's nothing for me to say that I was born an only child into the family that I needed, the family that I chose, and the family that I ordered. But in that family, as an only child, it went 14 times through 7 states before I was 17, my mother sexually molested me. And I came to know as a child a hollow, empty numbness as a result of the pain. That's important, because in music, you got to watch the turnarounds. You got to watch the themes when they come back and the codas. All right, so music saved my life. But I went out, and I had a band for a little while in 82, and I'd been a bar singer. But after the movie Collapse, Spirit granted me this amazing position where I was hanging with some amazing musicians. I've met a great many in my life and been privileged to hang with them. But Doug Lewis and Andy Kravitz, who had a couple of Grammys in Venice Beach, and they said, we're doing this thing, New White Trash. I, who don't play anything because my path took me elsewhere. I'm a singer and a songwriter, and what I discovered was that I could write a song. They would come to me with chords. They would come to me with a tempo. We would talk about a feeling. And from the chords, somehow, a melody would come. And the words. And I had to give that up after the movie came out because I was broke, because I had to found Collapse Net. But then we get to this point now where so many of us realize that something has been triggered. Now, I'm going to drop some names, because it's, let me go back. It's obvious that I'm a warrior. I was a cop. At home, I have gifts given to me by Commander Dick Marcinko, who founded SEAL 6. Tracker Tom Brown, as a friend, gave me a knife. I have my, but I have never taken a human life. I have counted many, many coups, and I have never taken a human life. And in 2001... right before I gave the speech which became Truth and Lies of 9/11, there was a knock on my hotel room door, and members of human revolution. I'm manifesting a lot of shit. I wanted to manifest lately, like a music and a lot of sexy women and all at my house. And what I wound up with was human revolution, two tour buses, all the children, and I had to go back to my altar like and talk to Mr. Fox. But thirteen minutes. This is German here. 13 minutes. This is good. Well, Spirit's got this all under control. I ain't worried about it. So roll with me here. We're going back to the story. All right. We're going back to the story here. I had to give up New White Trash, but I had this joy of co-writing 13 songs. And, you know, our CD was mastered by Bob Rice. We had Arthur Barrow from Zappa playing bass for... I mean... I'm not dropping names, but it's like I'm a guy who tried to kill himself in Venezuela in 2006 because of the Tillman scandal. That was my dark night of the soul. And even though today I am wearing the dress and following the traditions of the red man, I had to become a black man first because of all the stuff that's been thrown at me. And believe me, it's the kitchen sink several times over. I was first wave. Because of all the stuff that's been thrown at me, in 1998, Dick Gregory made me his black son. I called him up the next day, having gone, and I said, how come my manhood isn't any bigger? So, but I had to become black, but in Venezuela, after my computers had been smashed, and I was in the dark night of the soul, and the only thing that I had to protect me was a dream catcher made for me by Skip Mayhawk. And Skip Mayhawk knocked on my door in 2001 as I'm ready to do the truth and lies. Says, hi, I'm Skip Mayhawk. I'm here to be your second care. I didn't know who he was. He told me his story. Skip Mayhawk, about that tall, an elder of the Dakota people, had been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor in Vietnam in the Oshawa Valley with the 101st Airborne in 1968. And he refused the decoration because he was fighting in an unjust war. He fought beside Russell Means at Wounded Knee. And Skip Mayhawk showed up to be my second cameraman. It took me about 10 years to figure out that he had just paid me an amazing tribute. But Skip has been with me. My second meeting with a native... There's only one person in my life I've ever seen who smokes tobacco like I do. His name is Ward Churchill of the American Indian Movement. And I was on a panel with him and Cynthia McKinney and Kathleen Cleaver of the Black Panther Party in Washington, D.C. I brought the picture. I don't know why. But Ward had a partner, I forget her name, also from the University of Colorado, extremely powerful woman. And I went out and I smoked with Ward Churchill, and she came up and said, he smoked with a white man? Did he say anything? I said, maybe three words. He says, if he smoked with you for a whole cigarette, you're a brother. That was the best he could do because of the rage. So I've been led on this path. So I get to this place where I know that everything, and my whole life is, and I'm willing to die doing that, and I go out to my wishing tree, and I'm crying. I say, because the hunger had been in my heart to know my name. And in the spirit world, when you work with a shaman, you understand in the spirit world that knowing your name does nothing more than telling you where you belong. And there is great glory and an honor in that name. And my shaman travels with Bear, worked on it for 2-3 weeks, and he got back. He said, hey, dude, the only thing that has come back to me in 3 weeks is Tracker of Truth. And I sat with it for 2 or 3 weeks before I said, yeah, okay. Now, what I want to say now is to pay honor. And I draw a circle because I have been told now through many things, through an Akashic reading, through my medicine man, through astrology. I mean, it's like, for those of us on this path, isn't it like Spirit's giving you the Garmin directions now? Stop, turn right, you're going 200 feet. I mean, it's like so, it's amazing. So my job now is to be. My job in being is to hold space. I am a warrior. I am a warrior of peace. And what we are all experiencing here now is what is coming in ways that we cannot even comprehend. And in the space that I hold for my brothers and sisters, for all who have gone through more hells than you can possibly imagine, and we've earned our ringside seats and our places in the arena, and I am in the ring, that this space is safe because this space is where we begin to heal. We continue to heal our mother. And we heal our mother by being love. We heal our mother by being free from fear. We heal our mother from being uninhibited. And as long as I hold this space, speaking boldly for a warrior, I will tell you that only love can be here with us today. And we are part of something amazing. And in the space that I hold, I draw a circle around some people. These names may be familiar. Greg Braden.
Oops, did we lose the rest of the tape? Oh, that's too bad. Okay, let me check with New York. That wasn't all I sent. I'm assuming that's it, and I'm assuming that's all. I had a full tape here. Okay, so that's all right. We can just finish that right here. Okay. All right, so that was it. So maybe Spirit wants it this way. I read the list of names after that. And then I started talking about what Spirit had brought to me and the amazing changes that had been brought about in my life. I mentioned little grandmother. But there was a sequence of events. Now, I left CollapseNet probably 2 months ago, whatever, 8-9 weeks. And for all of that time, I have been doing nothing but tending the land here. Those were my instructions, to pray, to meditate, to be on the land, and I got crops coming up everywhere. I'm a farmer now, and we're just getting up to start knocking on the door of harvest season. So I was following those directions and following the leads that were coming from everywhere. Information was flooding, and I learned much about myself that I had not known. And we came to little grandmother, and you really need to look at her on YouTube. Because some amazing healings happen, and I kind of lay them on her and Greg Braden. My shaman, Travels with Bear, sent me an amazing video prepared, made by Native Americans, indigenous people, that called for, that clearly said an evolution was underway, that the time of the white buffalo had come, that, you know, that this time is prophesied. And the videotape that he sent me was a Native American calling on all indigenous peoples everywhere to forgive the white man. I was so moved by that, I put it up on Facebook, and then my shaman comes back and says, you are the only person in the world, the only white man in the world who could call on indigenous peoples to forgive the white man. But as soon as I watched that tape, then I realized, because the message of what's coming, this transition that is underway, this change of frequency, the shift of poles in the planet, which is well underway, which is changing the vibration of the planet very quickly, the bottom line is that if you vibrate with a frequency of fear, you will not go along. And I have to go back to AA when I say that, when we distilled it, over 21 years, I was a sponsor to many men in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got to watch all of their lives come back on as a result of spiritual principles. But we distilled everything down. There's only two basic emotions, fear and love. All resentments come from fear. And if you vibrate with fear, if you carry that energy, you can't make the change that so many of us now see is underway and are experiencing. So I realized that I had to let go of any hatred that I had for anything, and I went with my belly on the ground, my belly open, laying flat on the ground on my 2.5 acres, and I opened my belly to Mother Earth, and I forgave everyone who had ever harmed me, and there's a long list, and I forgave George Bush. I forgave Dick Cheney. That doesn't mean I condone or endorse what they did. I believe their accounts are going to be settled. But I dumped the hatred. Anybody who had ever hurt me in my life, I can't. It is so uncomfortable to live with anything other than love now. And fear is the reservation. So carrying on with this, talking about little grandmother, and through Greg Braden, I had learned that I chose everything that happened in my life. I am first wave. In an Akashic reading recently, I have no karma. And so I came with a job to do. And I picked everything that happened along the way. But as I'm working the land here, little grandmother kept repeating, and I was getting repeated messages that before Mother Earth could heal, I had to heal. It can be no other way. We are Mother Earth. Every molecule of us came from her. And we have to heal, too. And that was like the oh, shit moment. I've carried some big wounds, but I'm working the crops out there, and heal your mother, heal the earth, heal yourself, heal your mother. And suddenly it was like the plants were yelling at me. Heal my mother meant to heal the wound with my mother who had sexually molested me as a child. Now, what's unusual about that is that little grandmother, who is a shaman and a wisdom keeper, had been brutally sexually molested as a child, and it was that drove her inward. So I looked at her example, at her lead, and I led to a place where I had a complete healing over all of the wounds of my past. You cannot carry hate. You cannot carry wounds with you. So the mandate now for all of us who understands what's happening and who want to accelerate what's happening is that we all need to heal. Now, things are very much underway. Now, I'm going to take a break now, because it's time to play a song, and we are at a nightclub at the end of the world. I've laid a lot on you already, and I've got a lot more to lay on you for the rest of the show, but I had to play this one tonight. Matis Yahu is an amazing guy. He's an Orthodox Jew and lives in Israel. He's an amazing singer, songwriter, got a huge following around the world. I'm going to play this song. One more thing, let me tell you, in the tape you heard, I said the longest journey in the universe is from here to here, longer than any trip to any galaxies or you know, dimensions. And the here to here is from the head to the heart, from the head to the heart. So you're going to hear a line in this song from Matis Yahu that's about free the princess, return her to the king. The princess is our Mother Earth. The king is the great creator, the I Am, and she was hijacked a long time ago, but she's going home. Here's the song.
The son of his majesty. Your soul, taking from that girl
working to reunite them. Reunited, she's been taken for so long. Reunite them like the days of her youth. Descend into this pit, what's that feeling? Can't get rid of it. I'm so sick, I can't seem to shake it. When one retires at night weeping, joy will come in the morning. Yeah, made my mountain stand strong. Across the sea, land of milk and honey. One day we'll wake up from this dream and we'll stop sleeping. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Then we'll see clearly. Oh, ah, la la, yeah, yeah. See every warrior fighting for your soul. I seen a taking from the heavens above and brought down to this world below. See every warrior.
Soul, you know, and when it started out, before the soul was reincarnated into this life, into this body and time and place that we find ourselves, it was basking above in the rays of godliness, you know, and it comes into this world for one reason, you know, that it should transform the darkness into light. It should take the darkness of this world and make it light. And so, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up.
God was much as Yahoo. Look him up, too. Yeah, he'll take you down the rabbit hole for a bit. All right, so picking up where we left off. You know, probably one of the most profound discoveries I made in all of my years of investigative journalism and research from the left brain side was in the papers of Marion King Hubbert, who was really the prophet of peak oil. He's just an amazing human being, and much more amazing, I think, than most of us know. And he had analyzed the whole situation about infinite growth, corrupt economics, energy, food, and he had come to the same cul-de-sac, or if you will, yeah, that's a good term, that I did. He said that it's with the problem, the issue was in the origins of money, which he traced back to, quote, folkways of prehistoric origin. Well, first of all, if we know that the governments of the world lie to us about economics, about wars, about UFOs and ETs, if we know that the governments lie, they are certainly a good chance that they lie to us about our history and where we come from. But I think King Hubbert and I reached the same conclusion that sometime about 7,000 years ago or so, this race, our species, was enslaved and turned into cattle, and money was the prison. One of the most prescient questions I have ever heard asked was from Derek Jensen, my good friend, who asked, if we are the most evolved and advanced species on the world and we have dominion over everything, how come we're the only species that has to pay to live here? Well, there's another question that I heard recently that is just equally penetrating. If we are the highest evolution, as Darwin says, on this planet, and we are the supreme example of evolution, why do we have to wear clothes in order to survive? Why didn't we evolve like what every other species in the world has evolved, a natural skin coating outside that is perfectly suited to their environment? Maybe we didn't come from here. That's what the science is showing, and we only have about 10 minutes left. But, you know, my father was a radar intercept officer during the Korean War. He flew in F-89D Scorpions and F-90s. He was stationed up in Presque Isle, Maine. That's my earliest living memories. And he flew up over the pole, supposedly waiting for the Russian bombers. Well, needless to say, he encountered a few of those craft. And that, I think, led to his career. I would love to have Greg Braden on the show sometime, at Martin Marietta. And he was... the Vanguard Project, the Titan IIIC that put up all spy satellites. He later went to McDonnell Douglas Advanced Space Systems, and that's where all of that stuff, the contact, was taking place. The official contact, anyway. And that's how I wound up with a Q clearance, cleared to handle atomic secrets, even though I didn't. I mean, I didn't have a job, but that's in case Dad left his briefcase open or, you know, Dad talked to me. And Dad and I did have a talk about it. UFOs once. I was, this was right after I had discovered that I had this clearance, and I said, Dad, okay, so you were up there and you saw him. Mm-hmm. So what can you say? He said, we can't touch him. And I said, and I asked, you can't touch him as in you can't catch them, you can't hurt them, or you can't talk about them? He said, both. And that's the most he ever said, but I grew up around astronauts and former German rocket science, and there are many touchstones in my life that are listed quite clearly in David Wilcock's book, The Source Field Investigations. From my time hanging out with spies, I knew very well that, and people in Army intelligence, that remote viewing was routinely, I've been briefed on remote viewing, which demonstrates the ability to have consciousness in two places at the same time, by Army personnel and members of Congress when I was back there in about 94, 95. And about 6 months ago, I was contacted by a guy who was known to be a heavyweight CIA dude who was talking about, hey, man, they're coming out, and the Rothschilds have this thing, all this unbelievable, unlimited energy, which I know is out there. We would never be given it at our level of consciousness because we destroy the universe. This is a quarantine area because this planet's been hijacked, but not much longer. So all of that's real. And what's important for me as a detective is to not look at a clue that's on at a crime scene and say, well, I'm just not going to look at that because, A, it violates the state religion. You mentioned UFOs. I can do that now because the line's been crossed, and they're coming. They're here, I think. I haven't met one yet. I probably will. But don't be afraid. But I'm telling you this, and this is what's so amazing. All of the ancient indigenous prophecies that have been carried by indigenous peoples around the world for tens of thousands of years say exactly the same thing, and they're all surfacing now. Now, I have to take seriously peoples that have been so amazingly astute as to be able to calculate perfectly every solar and lunar eclipse for several thousand years, taking into account very minute variations in the Earth's orbit, wobble, spin. And on December 21st, 2012, a 26,000 cycle closes, and this is the cycle that all of the ancient prophecies have been talking about. We line up with the center of the galaxy, and the frequency on this planet will shift. Well, it's already happening. Now, let me give you a little science on that. On September 11, 2001. Remember, I come from this family of space, science and satellite. The human outpouring of emotion simultaneously in response to the attack on the World Trade Center was so great as to drastically alter the Earth's magnetic field. And what particle physics is now revealing is the frequencies and vibrations have direct impact on physical manifestation of reality. So emotion changes the magnetic field, but also what's been predicted by in the ancient prophecies is the shift of the, and it's happening. My father was a navigator. I mean, radar intercept officer. And I remember as a little boy, he'd take me out. That's the Big Dipper. You follow the Big Dipper to the end, and that's the North Star, and that points toward north. And I'm telling you, the North Star doesn't point to north anymore. It's out. I mean, it is no. Airports are reeking. The poles are starting to shift, and it's going to be a very sudden one. So what I'm telling, what I'm trying to go through tonight is to first of all make contact with all of you who have been listening to me, who intuitively in your gut and in your heart know that I'm telling it like it is. What I've done my whole life, you're going to expect me to do something different? I didn't have all the pieces until now, but so much is being made clear to me, and I'm watching it happen, and I encourage you to go check out those names. Now the state of consciousness is, we have to go to John Lennon, all you need is love. Love is the answer. That's right. That's absolutely right, because there is a frequency that vibrates through everything. And the frequency that has held this planet prisoner for so long, hostage, and is threatening to destroy her, is about to receive a balancing. And we're a big part of it. I firmly believe that everybody on this planet today fought to be on this planet at this time, because Mother Earth is beloved throughout the universe. We have free will here. And it's the hardest place in the universe to live. But there is a golden age coming. Now, what I think happened when we crossed this point two and a half months ago was that the 100th monkey was reached with respect to the fact that Mother Earth will shift and she will heal. A fifth dimensional planet will emerge in which thought manifests Thought Manifest. It was a great old movie called Forbidden Planet. Walter Pigeon and Leslie. A great movie. And fear cannot live there for obvious reasons. And the separation of the worlds will occur. Not everybody is going to make it. Those that need and want and insist on living in a world that makes no sense, that is irrational, that is governed by fear, may get that opportunity. But I know that Mother Earth is fine, and I know that probably by the end of this year, every religion in the world is going to be turned on its head, and a great many things are going to happen. I believe what's up at stake now for those of us who are actively a part of this is whether we can take all of mankind with us. Sit back. If this resonated with you, please go down the rabbit hole, because once you start, the only answer is to push further away from the shore. Do not try to cling to the shore. I'm personally in a place right now that's very interesting. I have been told to stay on this land and hold it and to live in love and not fear and to not struggle, and that everything that I need will be brought to me. And it's funny that at this moment, it's the 8th of July, I haven't paid the rent. I don't have it. But I am not afraid. I am not afraid at all. And that was a big lesson for me that came over the last few days, because the choice, if I want to go struggle to raise my... I got food up the butt growing out here that I got to spend full time to save the food. I'm going to go get a job to buy food? No. No. I'm going to stand my post and I'm going to follow orders. And I firmly believe I have no fear that I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to open a channel. You don't have to unless you feel it, unless you feel the love. If you want to send me some money because you want to support me, this money will do nothing but go to me. Open the channel, a check or money order. I don't want it to go. I'm not trying to dodge the IRS. I don't want the energy. But send it to Michael C. Rupert, 708 North Ravenstein Highway, Sebastopol, California, 95472. 708 North Ravenstein Highway. Oh, there's a P.O. Box, 266. 266 with that. But I'm not worried. So I say that, and I want you to know that for the last 8-9 weeks, I have been happier than I have been at any time in my entire life. I am free from fear. And I promise you this, my brothers and sisters, I am not going back on the reservation, and neither should you. These are great times. This is where we're going to go with our shows in the future. We are going to explore this stuff. We're going to talk about it because it's the only thing that makes sense, and that's what we look for here on the Lifeboat Hour. Good night.